Why try to be someone else? There you go. Why? See, you know why? Because we think we ain't good enough. Somebody got more than us. All those things that the world and ourselves beat each other up. And we try to be like everybody else. And God said, be who I created you to be. Just be that. And you will be great in it.
Amen.
See, we are out of position. And we wonder why things are not going right. You know, I was talking to Deacon Mark, and we were just talking about some things, and I'm like, Deacon, I'm in the same position. I got some things I got to work out myself. Because if I'm expecting God to do some great things in my life, not for me, but so I can do more, I got to be able to operate in what he's already gave me.
Right.
Too many times we're desiring more, but we're not handling the business that he's already given us.
Right.
See, we want to be like somebody else because we think they got it figured out.
And they don't.
Just like us. They just mature in different stages, and some of them are sacrificing some things to get that pleasure of the things of this world. See, but God want to give us a pleasure that's beyond our imagination. It's a peace that comes over you when you have that relationship with God. That no matter what is going on in your life,
that's it, no matter what's going on,
that you have that sense that it's going to be all right. So long as I trust him and I continue to operate as he called me to be. And too often we get in our own way. It's starting getting good. She said. And we think we did it. And we forget that only through God. How quickly we forgot the trouble we was in. We didn't think we was going to get out of that. We out of it. Things going good for about 6 months, 3 months, whatever it is. And we lose focus. Those distractions. And it takes us off that purpose that God called us for. So I want to play this video, this short video, for power. Because it speaks to the message. So Earl, if you can cue that up. And those out there in Facebook land, you might can't see, but you can hear it, so listen well.
Would you do the world a favor and be you? Because everybody else is already taken. Do the world a favor and be you. The world needs you, or God wouldn't have made you. If God wanted me to be somebody else, I wouldn't be here. I would be them. Stop trying to be somebody else. Stop letting the culture define what's beautiful. God says you're beautiful. Have you listened to God's voice in Psalms 139, 13, and 14? That when you and your mother's womb, you're wonderfully and fearfully made. Have you looked in a mirror and said, I'm wonderfully and fearfully made because God says? Or have you looked at TV images? Have you looked at magazine covers and said, oh, I'm ugly because I don't look like them? And God is going, precious child, you are beautiful to me.
Hallelujah. Too many people go around feeling wrong on the inside. They don't really like who they are. They focus on their faults, weaknesses. They're constantly critical toward themselves. That recording of everything they've done wrong is always playing in their mind. You're impatient. You blew your diet yesterday. You lost your temper. You're still struggling with that addiction. You should be ashamed of yourself. They wonder why they're not happy. It's because they have this war going on the inside. You're not supposed to go through life feeling wrong about yourself. Quit focusing on your faults. Quit overanalyzing your weaknesses. Quit beating yourself up because you're not where you thought you would be. Here's the key. You're not a finished product. God is still working on you. The scripture says God changes us from glory to glory. You have to learn to enjoy the glory that you're in right now. You may have some weaknesses. We all do. There may be some areas where you know you need to improve. But being down on yourself is not going to help you do better. Having that nagging feeling, telling you you don't measure up, God's not pleased with you, you'll never get it right, it's not going to help you move forward. You have to accept yourself right where you are, faults and all. God is the potter, we are the clay. He's the one making you and molding you. It may not be happening as fast as you would like, but you don't control the timetable. Will you trust him in the process? Will you accept yourself in the glory that you're in right now? Don't go around being against yourself. You may have some things wrong with you, but can I tell you, you have a lot more right with you. You may have a long way to go, but if you look back, you'll see how far you've already come. Keep your flaws in perspective. Every person has something they're dealing with. When you are for yourself, you are in agreement with God. Some people have never once said, I like myself. I like my gifts. I like my personality. I like my looks. I'm happy with who God made me to be. If you don't like yourself in a healthy way, other people are not going to like you. You project what you believe on the inside. If you feel wrong about yourself, you project inferiority, unfriendliness, discontentment. I'm asking you to feel good about who you are. You may not be where you want to be, but you're on the way. God is changing you from glory to glory. Start enjoying the glory that you're in right now. You may have some weaknesses. We all do. Don't you dare go through life against yourself. God is saying today, you are my beloved son, my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. Now do your part. Start putting on the breastplate of God's approval each morning. If you'll do this, I believe and declare every chain that's holding you back is being broken. God is going to keep making you and molding you. You're going to come up higher, overcome those obstacles, and become everything He's created you to be.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen. I tell you, when I look for those videos, I look for videos that have meaning and purpose behind them. And God always seems to send me things that's dealing exactly with my work is. You know, and just
Amen.
Hearing that, you know, we talked about those things already. That look at how far we've come and reminding ourselves of who we are. The beauty that's inside of us already, that God has already given us. Too often the world just beats us up. And it's hard to get back up when you're the one beating yourself up. See, a lot of times it's not the world. We just accept what the world says and make it our own. We say we're not good enough. Because we heard it so much. We say we're not beautiful enough. Because that's what the world says. We say we're not good enough and we can't do this and we can't do that. Because we've heard it so often that it becomes a mindset. And God is saying, no, I created you for a purpose and a reason. I know who you are. And that's the part that we got to grab hold of. Family, I want to take this time to just thank you. Thank everyone who's in attendance, those who are out there watching via Facebook Live, our streaming app, those areas. I'm thankful for this opportunity to just be here and share God's word. Because this situation where we're trying to be something other than who God has called us to be is not a struggle just within the church. It's a struggle in the world. The world is playing follow the leader. The one who, they don't even have to line up with everything you feel. It just has to be one or two things. And you follow it behind them. We got a nation that is divided over ideologies of men. Not God. They pick and choose what they want to use in God's words. But their action is showing you is they're getting further and further away from God. And that's why it's going to be so important that we focus in on Him and not what's happening around us. Because if we do, we're going to be caught up with our emotions and how we feel and what we think. And God is reminding us He's in control. If you just do what I called you to do, those are going to be the things that's going to draw people to you. Because they're going to want to know, how are you at so much peace with all this stuff going on around us? And it's because we ain't worried about the elephant and the donkey. We fall in Christ. We standing on what He says. And He said, we will have everlasting life. So if He's telling me that, that's peaceful in Himself. So no matter what happens here, I got everlasting life. So that makes me excited about being purposeful in Him. Because ain't no donkey and elephant telling you you won't have everlasting life. They just promising you some stuff that they can give you in the 4 years that they in position. And still don't do it. See, but God is a man of His word. It ain't a thing that He said in His word that He didn't come through with. And if it didn't happen, it ain't because of Him. Look at that man and woman in the mirror. We got distracted. We got put off track. And we missed what He had for us. And the enemy wants you to blame God so you don't look back at yourself. You see, this is when true repentance comes in place. When we look at that man and woman in the mirror and say, what can I do different? What role did I play? See, because God is not going to give anybody power over you. He's not. Regardless of what power they think they have, we still got a choice.
Amen.
We seen the greatest example when the enemy came at Jesus. He was offering all types of opportunities to get out of his pain, his discomfort. And Jesus just gave him the word. And this is what we got to grab hold of. We got to be the examples of. This brings me to the title of my message. God created you. Why try to be someone else? Each and every one of us, God created for a purpose and a reason. We cannot get lost in that theology if we don't believe in God. Because if you do, you will start questioning your purpose. See, if you don't believe what He said about you, everything else in here becomes meaningless. See, we believe in what the elephant and the donkey is saying. And how they gonna help change your life. But with this evidence that we have right in front of us, and the examples that we see in our lives and the lives of others around us, we still ain't trusting enough. And we wonder why we continue to fail. Family, turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And I got scriptures.
Good.
I got scriptures. See, our pastor said, when you're speaking about something, don't come with one scripture. Come with two or three so I can back it up. So I got some scripture, so I'll tell you, write it down so you can follow up on your own. Because I want to give you evidence. I don't want to just speak my words. I want to speak what God said. See, proof is in the pudding. We got a whole lot of things that's imitating some stuff.
Is that better? Is that better?
So it says here, and I'm coming out of Amplified. And it says, and do not be conformed to this world. And it says here, any longer with its superficial values and customs. But be transformed, progressively changed. See, glory to glory. Progressively changed. See, too often we try to get things right away. We want the change to happen when we want it to happen. But it's a process in it. And it says, as you mature spiritually, by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and attitudes. Say that again. Godly values and attitudes. Watch your attitude. And it says, so that you may prove for yourselves what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you. Family, this is something that should get you excited. See, all he's telling you is if you follow him, his plan and his purpose for your life, those things that you desire will come to pass. That vision that he had for you that you be seeing sometimes and you wonder how you're going to get there, it's going to start manifesting itself in your life. But it's a process. See, I spoke about how I didn't see myself here. Some of you didn't see yourself where you're at. Because of all the muck that was in front of us. But God seen it. He already knew. See, we are all sitting here today because we realized that the way we were doing things wasn't working out. And we wanted something different for ourselves. And some of you might have not even did it for yourself. You did it for the ones you love. Because at that point, we still didn't love ourselves enough. That's what I know, because that was me. I still was suffering from my identity crisis, but I loved my family enough that I wanted to change for them. And in making that self-sacrifice, I learned more about myself and my identity. Mm. See, that's the same sacrifice that Christ made. It wasn't about him. It was about you and I. See, that's why he talked about love your neighbor as you love yourself. Family, you see, we all have come to a point in our lives for different reasons, but the one common denominator was the life that we was living was not the one we wanted. And see, I know this is a very important topic because throughout the Bible, you see that transition for those we speak about and acknowledge in this word. None of them were perfect. None of them were doing things right. They were doing things according to the way they wanted to do it. And until they had that encounter with God, that's when they made that transition. And it was a process. The only one that didn't have to go through that was Christ. Everybody else, they went through that process. They had some things that they were in error of. They had some things that they had to work out. And that goes for you and I. And see, the enemy wants to beat us up and tell us, you need to be like that person. Because they're doing it. We get it in school. If you get an A and they get a C, they're not good enough. No, they just may not be good enough in that section.
Right.
But there's some things that they're going to get an A in, you're going to get a C in. See, but too often we focus in on what the world wants us to focus in on. Instead of grabbing hold of the goodness, what is good and purposeful that person adds to. That's why we're all individuals. See, the school system starts us off trying to be like somebody else. Instead of focusing on what we're good at. Just imagine if we was able to focus in on what we love to do and master that. Because once we master, we can add to the other person's weakness.
There it is. There it is.
The body of Christ supposed to be. But too often we're pointing fingers. I'm not good enough, and this person got that, and I don't have it. You know, I said we came together for our 43rd anniversary. Reunion, sorry, not anniversary. For our 43rd reunion, and I had to be there first because I was the closest. I got there at 8 o'clock in the morning when the place opened. And my first relative showed up at 10:30. See, but if I didn't make the sacrifice, we wouldn't have the position that we had. See, I did my part. Some others brought some other stuff. Other people brought other stuff. So when we came together, we had all we needed. But if one person is out of position, then we miss out on something.
That's it.
If somebody didn't come with the charcoal, we can't have no cookout. See, so we focus in on a role that we have to play. How much better we gonna be? See, but too often we want to do what everybody else doing. Instead of utilizing the help that you got. Because they can't do it the way you would do it. You gotta give them some time. And who say the way you doing it is the right way? We gotta operate in our lanes. See, when I was in business management, they told us if you're correcting somebody, you talk about what they're doing good first. And then you don't beat them up with what they don't know, you show them. You be the example. See, I'm able to do what I'm able to do because I watched Pastor Ray, I watched Pastor Bruce, and now it's my turn. So my job is to bring up somebody else to follow me. Because what I'm doing, I'm going to be like Pastor Bruce. Not retired, but ready when I'm called on. And can fill in regardless of what it is because I've done it already. I did my servitude. I know how to serve and I don't have no problem with serving. But I don't have to serve as much, right, Pastor Drew? In that area. You serve it in another way, yes, sir. See, he's operating in his gifting. Heart to heart. Well, he's ministering with other people. But if he was doing what I was doing, he couldn't do what he's supposed to be doing. See, too often, we get stuck doing stuff that we're not supposed to be doing no more. But because it was comfortable and it provided some means necessary, we got stuck in there not knowing that if we do what God called us to do, that's going to provide all the means that we need. And it's going to fulfill purpose in your life and other people's lives. But too often we get stuck in our comfortability. See, that's why I love Pastor Rick, because he stretches us.
Yeah.
Right, Pastor Bruce? Remember you was retired? He pulled you out of retirement twice? Nah, there you go. You heard that? He was retired from work, not ministry. See, the ministry never stopped. See, that was his purpose. See, too often we get caught up with work and making that our ministry. We make that number one in our lives. And we forget about God. We forget about God's people because we're too busy. See, we only got so much time in a day. See, I know I can't continue to do what I'm doing every day if I'm going to be purposeful and what God is calling me to do even the more. See, so if you're expecting to go to another level, you got to place somebody in position to take your place. See, and what happens is, you know, God is so, he's so awesome. Because, see, what happens is, the place that he's trying to take you ain't going to provide everything you need right away. It's a process that we have to go through to get there because he wants us to be successful in it. And because it don't look like what we think it should look like, we get uncomfortable. And we start murmuring and complaining, and sometimes we even get out of position and don't move forward in it. Let me keep going to you. Look, it says, the life we were living wasn't the life that we wanted. And I said, I know it's an important topic because, see, everyone in the Bible who made this transition had to die to themselves. And we see it over and over again since the fall of Adam and Eve. See, they were the first one who thought they were missing something. And we still been trying to find ourselves since that time. And guess what, guys? It's already in us. It's already in us. We just gotta nurture the seed that's on the inside. We gotta nurture what God has already birthed us with. He said, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. So it's already in us. Family, turn with me to 1 John 2:15, 17. We're going to go from 15 to 17. And it says, do not love the world of sin that opposes God and his precepts. Nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust, the sensual craving of the flesh, the lust and the longing of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, pretentious confidence in one's resources or in the stability of earthly. These do not come from the Father, but are from the world. The world is passing away. We see it every day. They get further and further away from the relationship with God and who God is. We've seen this before in Scripture. And Scripture tells us it's coming again. But what is going to set you and I apart? It's in the Word. It says, the world is passing away with its lust, the shameful pursuit, and ungodly longing. Listen to this. You know, when they say but, I tell the kids all the time, you say but, everything you apologize for, you wipe it away. So the word has that but in it. So all that stuff before that he was talking about can be wiped away. It says, but the one who does the will of God and carries out his purpose lives forever. You hear that but? And what is that commandment? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. The greatest thing is love. It's in the commandment. If you love someone, you ain't gonna do none of those things that God said don't do. See, so the Bible ain't about a bunch of kids. It's about, I don't want to anymore. Because I care about that person. So I don't want to do anything that's going to harm that person. I'm not going to covet that person. I'm not going to desire what they have. I'm going to be who God called me to be, and I'm going to love on them. Even in their imperfections. It ain't for me to make that decision for God. See, that's why the Sadducees and the Pharisees was mad at Christ. Because he was loving on the ones that they thought was unlovable. And unfortunately, we, the body of Christ, even after the word, are still doing some of the same thing. See, we're not saying, it's okay. He loved on them in spite of. So they desired to want something more. They seen the fruit of following his will. And that's what God wants from us. See, you see, I can only give my truth about how I thought about me, my life, and the pursuit of the things, and how it affected the way I was thinking. I can't speak for no one else. I only can share my truth. And that's why each and every one of us have that same opportunity. See, the people Elder can reach, I can't reach. Therefore, Elder, each and every one of us, God has placed people in our lives that we're connected to. And we can't be thorns in their lives. My wife tells you, she said, if I become a thorn in your life, I'm going to remove myself. See, that's love. That's love. That I'm not going to do anything that's going to block what God is calling you to be. And if I'm hindering you, I'm going to get out the way. And this is what God wants from us. See, this transition is how we're going to produce the fruit. How we be who God has called us to be. See, they got many different types of apple trees.
That's true.
They produce different apples. Different sizes, different shapes, different colors, different tastes. It is for everything God created. Why would we be different? Why would we be different? You don't want us to be the same. You can get two apples from the same tree. They don't taste the same. They have a different flavor. And each and every one of us have a different flavor. We all want to taste like somebody else tastes. You ever notice that you smell a cologne and it smells good, but then when you put it on, it don't smell the same? See, we give off different aromas. See, so what may be good for him ain't good for you. And too often we want to put on what somebody else got. Even David showed that. He is like, Saul, I can't wear yours. Saul wanted to give him his armor, the king's armor. Said, no, that's not for me. And that's why we got to be careful accepting what we think is better than what we got. Family. The enemy, this world doesn't want us to operate in hope because there is power in that. We see in the creations in the Tower of Babel, in the beginning, as I spoke about how we may be small in numbers. However, the things that we've done and desire to do far outweighs the number that we have. And that's the same thing for you. Too often we think I'm not good enough, I don't have enough, and all these isms that keep us stuck. I'm trying to work on this business. I went to the bank, they told me, nah, I can't do it. He's like, I can't do it. You ain't got enough credit, you ain't got enough. So I said, let me turn to the people that God placed in my life. I'm at my family reunion just laying out my business plan, looking for investors. You see, family. See, we got what we need right here. See, we try to do it on our own. Because we worry about somebody else getting a piece of the pie. But God said, look, no matter how I give it to you, you got it. You prefer to go to the bank than to go, you're going to give it to the bank and you don't want to give that to your family. We're quick to give it to somebody else. Because the bank going to charge you more interest than maybe your family going to charge you. But because we worried about them getting a piece of the pie, the bank getting a piece. See, too often, see, we got it all mixed up. We got it all mixed up. I was talking to Deacon Mark. I said, just imagine you got three brothers, single brothers, living on their own. Each one of them got a flat. They got a place that they paying $800 to $1,200 for. Now, if they came together, all three of them put $400 or $500, it's still more than what they paying. They would have one bill, one house, one electric bill, one phone bill. Well, they might have their cell phone, but they got landlines no more too often. But they cut a whole bunch of bills in half. Or maybe even a third, and able to put more money away. But too often we're worried about being comfortable. I don't want to live with nobody. They act this way and they act that way. We block our own blessings.
You're right.
We miss those opportunities. Even in our own children.
They will tear you down.
They want to move out, get their own place. Just imagine we got one place together. So instead of us paying different rents and different
places, we got
one mortgage. We're able to put so much more money away. You want your own way, we get a house big enough and you have your own space. You have your own interests. I have my own interests. We ain't got to see each other. We don't want to see each other. But we still saving money. See, the body of Christ has missed it. See,
they don't know how to save money and then spend through. You still got a problem.
That's good.
We was able to put some stuff together. See, some sacrifices that we make as employees here at Harvest, definitely in the beginning. Because we ain't have enough. But we continue to press through in spite of. And now we're here. And this is only the beginning. We still babes in this. There's so much more in the vision that Pastor Ray has, but also the vision that each and every one of you have. He's placed some things in your heart and your spirit to do for your community and your ministry. And if you're successful, we're successful. God is successful most of all. Because he gets the glory. So why do you want to be like somebody else? Let me get to you. Turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 2.
When did you throw them away recently?
It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, I urge you.
Back in April.
By the mercies of God to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves set apart as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. We did it here this morning. We worship God. We praise Him. We gave Him thanks. And it says, and do not be conformed to this world. Man, that's three scriptures. Three different ones that keep reminding us, don't be conformed to this world. And there's so much more. He's saying, don't be conformed any longer with the superficial values and customs. See, you know why it's superficial? Because it only lasts as long as the person who's giving it. When they pull the plug, Biden gone, all the promises that he made, they gone. Trump gone, and all the promises he. When you ain't got that job no more, all the promises they gave is gone. All the time you invested, it's gone. Superficial. And it says, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually, by the renewing of your mind, focusing on God's values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves that what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect, and His plan and purpose for you. This is something we need to be excited about, because he continues to remind us over and over again, if we give ourselves to his will, which is to love your neighbors as you love yourself, all those things will be added unto you. You don't have to chase after them. He created it all. He's telling us just line ourselves up to his will. We can look at our lives now. Just like that video said, it may not be perfect yet. Might not be where we're at yet. But we got to be honored in the glory of the now. Because we know what we've been. We know what we could have been. But in spite of, the love of God continues to hold us and keep us close, going in front of and staying behind us, covering us in our own errors.
Okay.
Because he has a plan and a purpose for our lives. But too often we get caught up in ourselves. Instead of being who God created us to be, we want to be someone else. Why? I'm going to move on. Open up Romans chapter 7, verse 4-6. And it says, therefore, my fellow believers, you too died to the law through the crucified body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that you may bear fruit for God. Fruit for God, not for the world, not for yourselves, but for God. When we were living in the flesh, trapped in sin, the sinful passions which were awakened by that which the law identifies as sin, were at work in our bodies to bear the fruit of death. How many of us came from death? We were on death doorstep. And the things that we were doing, the direction that we were going, had we not changed direction, we were facing imminent death. Destruction of ourselves. See, you could be alive and still be dead.
Well,
yeah, you can.
Living with no purpose, just existing. And says, bearing no fruit, willingness, sin that leads to death and separation from God. Here come that but again. But now we have been released from the law of sin. See, because we're able to identify it. It's not getting rid of the law. It's because we're able to identify the law of our actions based off of the love that God said we should have. So we ain't got to worry about the Ten Commandments. It's already in us. We ain't going to violate that love. And if we don't violate that love, we decrease the penalty of death. Released from the law and its penalties, have died through Christ to that which we are held captive, so that we serve God in the newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter of the law. And that's that part. It's not getting rid of the law. Jesus said, I'm not coming to get rid of the law. The law is in that one commandment. And this is the part that we struggle with. I had an episode at my family reunion. And you know, you always have one. You know, and what I had to... We have to remind each other who we are. See, because it's not against flesh and blood. It's against spirits and principalities. And see, when someone prick that thing that you haven't dealt with, it ignites a feeling. See, and that's that part that we got to be able to recognize our own weaknesses. See, because what happens is we become what we despise. And that's that part of that growth and maturity in our relationship with God and knowing who we are. See, because if you know who you are, regardless of what anybody say, you gonna stand on that.
That's right.
See, but what happens is, and this is where the enemy is so good at, because he gets you with the people who are close to you.
You and ain't never lied.
See, if it was someone in the street, you could ignore them. You're like, they don't know me. They don't know who I am. But when it's family, the people who you think know you. See, but it's the spirit. It's not them itself. It's the spirits that we allow in ourselves that attacks the other spirit that we haven't dealt with. Those insecurities, those doubts, those questions. See, the enemy knows all your weaknesses. And we pump ourselves up. I got it. until you get poked. Then you get poked again. And he keeps pushing you and nudging you and nudging you.
It's my work badge. It's everything.
Until then you show yourself. And you be like, he ain't changed.
Hand sanitizer.
I got him. I know. See, we can't give the enemy that power. We can't give him that power. God gave you the authority. I tell him, who can you control?
Let me get some tissue for you. You sure?
And see, what happens is when God say you be better, you be good. You be like, God, why me? Why I always gotta be the one that gotta be bigger?
What's your dealer?
Or some of them be like, I ain't Jesus.
Okay. I'm thinking about some ribs.
He know who you are.
That's what I'm thinking about.
And so do the enemy. God told who you are. He gave you the authority to overcome that. And it comes from knowing who you are. He said you are good. He has a purpose for your life. So no matter what anybody says, you know that. You can stand bold in spite of anything. You ain't gotta be nobody else. You be who God called you to be.
Amen.
I'm gonna close with this. Because this is gonna be we're gonna have a part two of this.
Okay.
We're gonna have a part two of this next week. And my title next week is Why Do We Struggle with Being Ourselves?
Okay.
Why? I'm going to go to bed.
Okay.
See, because we got to figure it out. See, I was telling Pastor Bruce about this movie I seen. And that's what Pastor Bruce was so important because, see, we don't deal with the psychological part.
Come on, Pastor.
See, we got that old mindset where don't air your laundry.
Uh-huh. Don't do it.
We want to try to figure it out ourselves or with someone else. If we could have figured it out, it wouldn't be a problem.
I know that's right.
So you got to turn to somebody else who's going to give
that's
you some
right.
insight.
That's right.
See, we got some dirt. That we try to bury some things that we try to push in the closet. The enemy knows it. And whenever you want to throw a stone, he throws a stone at you. Because we haven't dealt with it. We haven't cleaned our closet.
That's good.
And it show up at the most inopportune time. Things are going good. Everything is nice. We think we got it under control. And then that stone comes and shatter everything to pieces. We got a window over there that's broken. It's broken from a loose stone. And I mean, it's cracked in so many pieces.
Yep.
Just a loose
my car.
Stone.
My windshield.
And this is how our life
coming
is.
Down this-
wow. My life is fragmented.
Loose stone.
And only God can make it whole.
I ain't get it fixed yet.
Only God, not man, not the things that the world tells us. Only God can make us whole. See, when I came into to Harvest, I came in at $18,000. I'm like, oh, I need more. And see, God will give you what you want. The world will give you what you want. But if you don't know how to handle it,
there it is.
Then you go from one point to the next point. And then you need more and more and more.
Lord Jesus.
See, but God, we got to know how to deal with the glory that we need. We got to honor that space that we're in right now. Then you can move to that next level. and be successful in it. Turn with me to John 15, 12. And we're going to read 15 to 17, 12 to 17. And I'm going to close right here. And it says, this is my commandment, that you love and unselfishly seek the best for one another. Just as I have loved you, no one has a greater love nor a stronger commitment than to lay down his life for his friend. Ain't none of us in here who got children want to lay their life down for them. Without question. Because you love your children. You want the best for them. You want the best. See, well, I heard something. Somebody think we think we're going to miss something when we lose this life. But God said, I give you everlasting life. See, this is what the enemy get us stuck with. We fear death. I don't want to sacrifice. Why me? Why not you? Why not you? If you believe his word. And see, this is where the enemy gets us. Fearing losing this life. And that's why we're not as bold in the body of Christ as we should be.
Come on.
See, the disciples didn't worry about it. They knew what they were doing was going to lead to death. And they still did it.
Hallelujah.
See, that's the law. And this is what we miss in the body of Christ. You see, I got questions. Should I lay my life down for my son? I still didn't finish living myself. What if God said, lay your life down? I got bigger promises in him. I got bigger promises in him. You did your part while you were here. And we still be trying to hold on. And we sacrifice our souls.
Yeah. That's good right there. Oh my God.
We sacrifice. How many, there's some things that God told you to lay down and we was worried about why. And we try to hold on to it. And I guarantee you, most of us, we ain't got no more. That very thing we try to hold on to. Let me close. And it says that you are my friends if you keep on doing what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you my friend because I have revealed to you everything. He revealed everything. It's in his word. Everything that I have heard from my Father. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, each and every one of you.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I have appointed and placed and purposely planted you. See, where you at is where God wanted you to be. We here at Harvest because this is where God wanted us to be. And we came from a whole lot of different places. So that you would go and bear fruit and keep on bearing. Family, these things you need to be excited about. Stop worrying about where you at right now. Just think about where you came from. See, sometimes he might uproot you so he can replant you someplace else.
Yeah. Ah,
But some of us place our roots too deep in the place that we're at. We get comfortable. He says, so you can bear fruit and keep on bearing, and that your fruit will remain and be lasting long after you're gone. So that whatever you ask of the Father in my name as my representatives, he may give to you. This is what I command you, that you love and unselfishly seek the best for one another. Family, if you ain't excited as you leave here today, you miss everything that was spoken. God has some plans, some fruit that's inside of you that he wants to be produced. Stop trying to be like everybody else. It's only one of you. And he planted you for a purpose and a reason. This is where I'm going to close. John 14:12. And this comes out of my leadership Bible. It says, Jesus told his men that they would do greater works than he has done. How would this be possible? Don't we ask that question? First, he would send the Holy Spirit to live in each of them. It's in us. Second, he had already given so much of himself to equip us. It's in the Word. He had prepared them to reproduce their leadership in the lives of others by being an example. They wasn't worried about death. They was going to fulfill their assignment even unto death. We trying to hold on to this life. And we missing God. And it says, talk about being ready to change the world. It says, how did Jesus mentor and reproduce his leaders and his disciples? Consider Jesus' idea of how to reproduce leaders. First, instruction. He verbally taught them. He constantly used daily routines to instruct them in leadership. Remember how I told you? Pastor Ray showed Pastor Bruce showed me. I'm able to do what I'm able to do, and now it's my job to bring somebody else. Same thing with you. It's not just about us up here. Each position that you're in, it's about you producing that next one to come up behind you and maybe even do what you do better. So you can do what God has called you to do. Because a lot of us in some positions that we don't even like. Let's be honest. Demonstration. He molded truth and let his men observe his life. And he provided show and tell. Remember I told you? Management. You show them how to do it. You don't just tell them. You show them. You got to be that example. Experience. He let the disciples participate and apply the truth for themselves. They got to practice. See, if they don't do it, they won't know that that's what they're supposed to do. That's our part. Assessment. He described their shared experience. He assessed their growth and gave them direction. That's what this is about, family. So, idea, these are the things that we have to do. So, as you prepare to leave here today, think about how you're setting the examples for people. That you're setting people in place to go to that next level. That you're being the leader that God has called you to be. And that's my prayer with this word today. That's my prayer that we be the examples that God has called us to be. Who God has called us to be. We don't have to be anybody else. Amen? Amen. I pray this word was a blessing to everybody here. Hallelujah. God created you. Why try to be someone else? So this is the time when we offer up to God and our prayers and our tithes and our offering. We gave it up in worship. We gave it up in word. And now it's time to do it in our giving.
Amen.
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 And this is the exciting time right
now. Yeah.
This is the time that we lay in an offering those things that we desire for the fruit to be produced in our lives. So these seeds that we're sowing in prayer and word and worship and our giving, those are the things that's going to produce the fruit that we're looking for from God. So elder is there. Pastor Seven is there. If anybody need an offering envelope, just raise your hand. There's different ways to give. You can give through our app. It's going to come up on the board. And also, you can text to give. There's different ways to give here at Harvest. And still can do it the old way. Checks for now. We see what just happened.